So today we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, texts 182 to 187. 187 is on the board. So what I like to do is to chant and with the English translations of the earlier verses, and then together we'll do 187 chanting. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Welcome. Actually, this chapter 4 has such beauty. If you read this chapter and you go through it and you look at the relationship that is described between Krishna, Shrimati Radharani, the gopis, and the devotees, we can see that this is a guide or an instruction, really, of our relationship with each other and with the Lord Himself and the Acharyas and our spiritual master. There's so much instruction in every little text, actually, which can actually bring, it's a strange thing, when we talk about love, this talks about love, real love, the love of the spiritual realm, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had brought to us by his mercy, and Sri Advaita Acharya had also brought to us by his pleading and begging. You know, actually, this is a very interesting aspect to this. Actually, the Lord comes at the request of his devotees. So in our lives, if we make not that request, then we could be missing a vital link. You know, because to ask for something also takes humility. You know, it's a humbling thing. We have to. It's like in the chapter with Lord Nrisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Until the demigods had come and all those that were oppressed by Hiranyakashipu, it says in that, I think it's chapter 8, it says how they were oppressed and how they were finally, they felt they should surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord and then offer prayers. And so they then offered prayers at that point where they felt they were helpless. And I think, in a way, we're in the same boat, that there comes a point in devotional life, and certainly in the early days in practicing Krishna consciousness, there's an enthusiasm to just want to just practice. But after that, there becomes some difficulties, or that somehow the enthusiasm, like when the young boy goes out with a young girl, then you start to find and get to know each other. You get to know the process, and maybe it's not quite what you thought it was going to be. So then you can either go away, I've had enough of this, or that you can stay and somehow find out what a real relationship is like. There's an interesting aspect to that, because sometimes in real relationships you have to cry. There are many difficulties in relationships in this world, and the impersonalists, rather than have any relationship, they abandon relationship, they renounce all those things that are to do with personalism. And so they say, I've had enough of this, so I don't want any more. I just want to be blissful, and I meditate on the Brahman effulgence. It's a transcendental position, but it only transcends the material existence. It doesn't know its purpose. So it's said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's incomplete renunciation. It doesn't take into account, it rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna. So we can do like that. You know, we can get out of our relationships, we can abandon them, or we can leave ISKCON. We can say, I've had enough, you know. But actually, those that stay, they get the nectar. They get everything. They get the full-blown, as is elaborated in this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the glory of Krishna Prem. And not only do we realize that actually a loving relationship with the Lord, then we have a loving relationship with each other. Sometimes there's difficulties, that's for certain, but it's part of love. We start to, and we should, as devotees, get to know each other in a loving way. And there's no doubt about it. Because we have defects, which is pointed out in all the sastras, in this material existence, we've been born with a material body, mind and intelligence based on materialistic desires and our previous lives, sinful activities, that somehow we're really imperfect and we're all different persons. We don't all get along together, but somehow by association with each other that we learn to find out that actually that we're not in control. That relationship means that something, there's other people involved, another person. And so we're not the center. So bhakti means that actually somehow we have to give what we are to others in any way we can, but there are defects and we struggle. So, but here they're telling us the purest love. And in the spiritual world, there are pure relationships and they have pure quarreling, they have pure dancing, they have pure relationships, you could say transcendental sex life, but that which we cannot conceive of in a material body, but we can conceive in a sense as we move through this body and this aging process, we'll start to understand that love has nothing to do with this physical sex life. You start to understand that actually sex life is for making children. And it's the only thing that would make us have children, actually. If we found out, you know, what was involved after, you know, would we have children? You know, because it's tapasya. Household life is tapasya. Real tapasya. We learn to have to learn to make a relationship in Krishna consciousness somehow in family life as well, and it's big tapasya. So going on to this verse, where they're very beautiful, actually they are like a beautiful picture. We can see it and we can just be captivated by its beauty. This forms an impression on the heart, you know, like a picture or an experience. It forms impressions on our heart. Chaito darpana marjanam. We're trying to cleanse the mirror of the heart. This is the process. Krishna kata. Gora, goranga kata. It will cleanse the mirror of the heart. And then we'll see who we really are. Who we are as a person and who the Krishna is as a person. and how relationships can really be. And I'm preaching to myself, most of all, actually. So I'll just briefly go through the first verses. Ehi Deo Kalu Ani Krishna Samarpana Tanradana Tanrad Iha Samboga Sadhana. Translation. The gopis think, I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He is the owner, and it brings him enjoyment. E deha darshana parse Krishna santosana ehi lagi kare dihera majana bhushana. Translation. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. Nijahagam apiyab gopiyo mameti samupasate tabiyaparam name parta niguda prema bhajanam. Translation. O Arjuna, there is no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. Purport, this verse was spoken by Lord Krishna in the Adi Purana. Ara eka adbhuta gopi bhavera svabhava buddhira gochara nahi yahara prabhava. Translation. There is another wonderful feature of emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. Gopi gana kare yabe Krishna darshana sukha vanchana hi sukha haya koti guna. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. Now, today's verse. Such verses. Interesting. You know, we learn so much, you know, about this body, how that somehow it our own body captivates us. There's so many things, knowingly or unknowingly, that we desire that manifest during the day. And this concentration in yoga that Arjuna found difficulty with in chapter 6, you know, certainly is a reality. Because the body, the mind, and the intelligence, so-called intelligence, it's looking at so many things. It says, Mamo vanso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manahasistani indriyani prakriti kanistarshati. It says the living entity in this conditioned world is struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So our impediment is this material body, a material intelligence, a material mind that we've been given because we are struggling very hard, because it's making so many demands on us, not only just to even exist, survive in the world, but also it's looking for constant stimulation. So consequently, that this body is not a compatible situation, as Prabhupada calls it, with spirit soul. Because spirit soul is spiritual in its nature. But here we have the gopis, they're telling us that actually this body is Krishna's, it's not ours, and that the considerations of the body should be done with consideration to Krishna's pleasure. So we have a rare opportunity brought by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once in a day of Brahma. That means it'll be billions and billions of years that we get a chance until another day of Brahma when Lord Chaitanya comes again. And that this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, will again be shown to this world. So, to have some appreciation of its truth and its power, as has been described, the power of the gopis, love, that we should really take hold of it, I mean, really tightly with our hands, what is being said in any way we can. And I always wondered why this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, my devotee never falls or is falls down because even though he commits the most abominable action. I always wondered about this verse, why she put that, because I thought once we come on the devotional path that we don't commit abominable actions, knowingly or unknowingly. But it does happen. You know, we've got the instruction. Intellectually, we can grasp it. But sometimes, with our fallibility, based on this bodily nature and our still sinful reactions that we're getting, you know, whether or not we're initiated or not, somehow we still have to tolerate what we have created with our previous life's desires. It's there. So, just a little quote from Prabhupada. He's going to give us a little perspective. This is, again, this quote I quote quite often. It says, if death takes place, let it take place here. This is just before he's about to leave the world in Vrindavan. It's May 17th of 1977. There is nothing to be said new. Whatever I have to speak, I have spoken in my books. Now you try to understand it and continue your endeavor. Whether I am present or not present, it doesn't matter. As Krishna is living eternally, similarly the living being also lives eternally. But one who has done service to the Lord lives forever. So you've been taught to serve Krishna, and with Krishna will live eternally. Our life is eternal. A temporary disappearance of this body doesn't matter. Body is meant for disappearing. So live forever serving Krishna. So we can see this transition. These verses here, they show that the gopis know that their bodies are Krishna's bodies. Shri Shri Adago Kunnanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. And Prabhupada also knew this, you know, by this statement. He said, let this body be finished. He gave it to Krishna in his amazing pastimes. And if we read about Prabhupada's Leela, you can't help but being inspired by it to maybe do something more that we can, or more than we normally do. It enthuses. And so because we start to see, it's also Krishna Katha. It's in Bhagavatam where it says, it's that actually the pastimes of myself and my devotees purify. So we can understand that when we talk about the devotees, that and we glorify them and we hear their pastimes, it purifies us. But Hiranyakashipu, much to his difficulty in the end, where the Lord Nrisimhadev came, he said, Krishna said to the demigods when they pleaded with him, he says, yes, I shall come when he teases my devotee. At that point, I shall come. So we can see actually what really bothers Krishna. It's when we tease each other in some way, knowingly or unknowingly, we've done so because of our conditioned existence. Hence, 9:30. We got to be careful. It says, my devotee never falls down. Now, he puts a little rider, even though he commits the most abominable action, but there's a little rider on there because he's rightly situated in his determination. It's like the small print, actually. So if we're not rightly situated in our determination, then we have to be careful. That means, actually, if we're selfishly motivated. You see, Vishwanath Chakravarti, I think on that verse, he says, no matter what happens, you know, I may go to hell for what I do, but I'll always continue to serve Krishna wherever he wants me to go, whether it be in heaven or hell, or rebirth after rebirth. This is rightly situated in the determination. It doesn't mean that we just commit sinful reactions, but there's this little rider that says that somehow or other we will continue through all these difficulties, and so we must be careful with each other. And it's very difficult, you know. I preach to myself when I talk in this way. So he says here, whatever affection we see in the gopis, and they show in their own bodies, know it for certain, it's only for the sake of Krishna. Yeah. So this is an important point to understand, is our consciousness whenever or whatever facility we're given, whether it be during the kirtan, bhajans, prasadam, honoring in our service, that it's for the sake of Krishna that we honor these things. That we honor it means that we glorify it. We glorify the kirtan. It's not for us, it's for Krishna. We glorify the prasad. It's honoring his mercy that he gives us. It's an appreciation of his mercy. So many wonderful tastes that he gives through prasadam. Also, you know, when doing service, we should relish this service each moment, because it is relishable if we're conscious of it and we have some appreciation that it's so rare, because we have a chance for Krishna praying, and it's once in a day of Brahma that we get a chance of this Krishna praying. And if we can really appreciate this treasure that we have, then all will be well. because we'll improve. Because then it says after that, Prabhupada explains that after a while, the devotee, in continuing his practice, will give up these old bad habits. And I don't know any one of us that hasn't given up some old habits gradually, but gradually they disappear. It's there. And so some improvement has happened. But also, in seeing this improvement, there's still things that we have to go through. And if I can find a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam, it talks about this, because it's really so beautiful. Well, it sort of gives a, yes, Hiridvagvapubir vidatam namaste jivita yumukti pade sadaya bhak. It says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So he talks about patience there, patiently enduring the reactions of our past misdeeds and offering respectful obeisances within his heart's words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it's become his rightful claim. So he says, who earnestly waits for you. This means for the rest of our life. But actually it's really short. You know, somehow in my deluded mind, I'm still... when I speak to people, say maybe 20, I still have this illusion that I'm talking to a person who's the same age as me. You know, it's a completely strange thing. 2 days ago, I looked in the mirror and I thought, wow, what are you doing? You know, what are you thinking? You know, I see the body, it's really deteriorating very fast. And you start to see the reality of the aging body. Yet inside, there's still this strange old thing, that illusion, that the mind thinks the body can still do the same. And there's no way. Just sitting here, I'm seizing up, moment by moment. And... you know, there's nowhere way that would have happened, say maybe 2 years ago even. It's a strange thing. And also, we can have so many desires. But when you get an old body, this is just what they call a pipe dream. You know, you think whatever things that attract you, you think you can handle it, whether it be prasad, or a man or a woman. You know, if you desire them, you think, yeah. But actually, that's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense. So we see temporary nature. So what really we have to look at is what is real relationship. It's that where we get to know each other through difficulties or joys, that we start to understand that actually relationship means a topsy-turvy roller coaster ride in this material existence. But actually the nectar of persevering with all relationships, if you stay, you start to get the nectar. You start to come away from the bodily platform. You start to see the person actually. And there's this saying, and I don't know if it's from Bhagavatam, where it says that our faults become ornaments. They become actually things that are actually that can attract us to each other. Oh, you know, I can remember when they did the play in the theatre there, and they were doing I've forgotten what they call it, but where they imitate a person, and I was the figure they imitated, and I thought, oop. You know, I had to swallow some pride when I saw it, you know, because these characteristics I have, especially when serving prasadam. And, you know, it was a bit of an eye-opener for me. But this is the way of the devotees. It's very good for us because, you know, it's meant to show us who we are in this body. Also, I found that actually, for some reason, they found it endearing. You know, annoying and endearing. You know, so, because of their mercy. This is the soul. This is the soul coming through. The devotees are very special, actually. You know, wonderful characters. Wonderful characters. And we can just see it. And if we look around, each one of us, we have such personalities, you know. Gradually we get to know each other. But if we pose through false ego, we don't see the person. Very nice little instruction. There's the 12-step precepts given by the Alcoholics Anonymous. I sort of adapted it for Krishna consciousness because it is a spiritual instruction. It's a spiritual guide for those who know that this body gets addicted. All of us are addicted in some way to whatever things that we have some attraction for. It says, it's number one. It says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and I put in brackets Maya, that our lives have become unmanageable. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Certainly in the process of Krishna consciousness, we start, and it's part of self-realization, is we start to realize that we're helpless. That actually, without the Lord's mercy and the devotee's mercy, that we are helpless. It becomes unmanageable. So the revealing of one's heart, sharing with each other, is very, very important to get support from each other and also correction and guidance. But the first point is that we have to admit it. So it's a point of admitting our powerlessness. And then it says, we came to believe, Shraddha, I've put, that a power, Krishna, greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So that's quite a big thing because there's a habit, certainly within me, that I have to do everything by my own effort. That it's somehow that this prayer, God helps those that help themselves. And it's a fact. But that's just the endeavor to carry on. We don't actually change these modes. There's only one person who can do that. It's Super Soul. He controls the modes. He's within our hearts. The Lord of the heart. Daivihaya shugunamai mama mochyat duryatyaya mameva ye praptyanti mayametam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, Krishna says, is very difficult to overcome. But those who've surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So it's a sort of surrender. This surrender, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. So what happens next? We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, Krishna, as we understand him. So Krishna sent the devotees, he sent Bhagavad Gita, he sent Srimad Bhagavatam, all these wonderful books, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is putting our care into God, and we have to understand him through these books and through the devotees, those who have got Krishna within, they feel Krishna within their heart. They want to share Krishna within, from within. That's our sadhus, our spiritual masters, and those more advanced than ourselves. Then it says, this is interesting one, making a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is introspection. That sometimes if we have an argument with someone, it's always nice to realize that actually it's ever so easy to think we see the fault lies with the other person, but to see the fault within ourselves, you know, takes a little while to contemplate. And it's just by just a little way we speak, a sound in the voice, some ill feeling, something that's conjured up in the mind that we may not like this particular person, that this can cause us great difficulties because it comes through as a sound vibration. And we may speak the words that are unpalatable, either through just the sound or in the words themselves. So that's interesting. So, you know, we can see, you know, in our attitude sometimes we create obstacles for ourselves, but also we can create, not obstacles, but ways through. But we pray to the Lord. We see the qualities of a devotee. They have humility. They're equi-poised. They have this vision. They don't see the body. They see that we're brothers and sisters, that we're fellow spirit souls, whether it be a tree, an ant, or a human being, a tiger. You know, they have this vision, and somehow they convey this merciful aspect, this vision. Time rolls on. So, actually, maybe just to sum up, let's hear those translations again of those verses, because they'll help us. The gopis think I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He's its owner and it brings him enjoyment. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. Arjuna, there's no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. There is another wonderful feature of emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. The gopis taste pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure of Lord Krishna, who derives what he derives from seeing them. This is the power of the gopis' love. There's another wonderful feature of the emotion of the power of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of our intelligence. So Krishna, he wants that. So he comes as Gauranga. He wants to taste this mellow of what the devotees see in him. Because their pleasure is greater than what he experiences himself. So there's two things, external reason, internal reason he comes. External reason, he's come to give Krishna praise, he's come to chant the holy names, he's come to show us how a devotee can be in separation of Lord Krishna, how we should act with each other. And he's showing how he acts with his associates. So he's showing us. It's external. But internally, he's relishing. He's getting that nectar that Shamata Radharani and the gopis feel in their worship of Lord Krishna. And that's what he wants to give us. That pleasure that we will experience a million times greater than Krishna himself. And that pleasure is done by doing what Prabhupada asks us to do. He says, everything's written in my books. Don't worry. You endeavor. Don't worry about this body too much. It's meant for finishing. We carry on with our devotional service. And as it says in Bhagavatam, patiently wait on the mercy of the Lord, and that will become our rightful claim. Undoubtedly. So, Hare Krishna. Any quick questions? Maybe. Okay.